Amen. 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 Hey, grab a seat, everybody, except for the children. You're not allowed to sit down. You guys are dismissed to go back to your class today. Everybody, would you please give an awesome round of applause and encouragement for our Bridge kids? Yeah. We think you guys are pretty awesome. Pay attention to my wife and respect her. You'd be in trouble. What's up, everybody? Hey, if you are new today, I just want to say welcome to the Bridge. My name is JJ, and I get the privilege of sharing God's word with you today, but we just hope that you feel welcome. And if you are here, something I started telling myself, we need to help people a little bit with the building layout, because there's a couple of things that are funny. Number one, where are the bathrooms? It's a good question. You've probably been asking it in your head. They're in this corner of the building over here, so you can make your way out of any of these doors, and they're just right over here. All right? And it's important that we help people figure out their way around this building, because in four more Sundays, this is going to be our home. Yeah. So we're not just going to be visiting somebody's home and having church service there, but God has seen fit. He's dialed us in. There's too many things to share, but I will tell you this. I was very tempted many times to get my hands in on all the business dealings that were going on to make it happen. And I felt the Lord say, let go, dude. This is not your thing. This is mine. And I didn't want to have something to where it says, oh, JJ did this thing to get us this building. I wanted it to be what it is. God did this thing to show his faithfulness, his plans for the future, as he, as he just has big things, like I said last week and the week before. God is doing something very cool. We get to be a part of it. So starting in 4 weeks, starting July 4th, of all days, God bless America and the Bridge. The whole world is going to set off fireworks because we're getting a church building. Or the whole nation, no big deal. But we'll go back to 10 o'clock Sunday morning, which I know will be beneficial for a lot of us. So I'll talk more about that, but I just couldn't contain myself. Uriah, will you knock my mic down like two notches? All right, if you have your Bibles, you guys, I want to preach to you a message this morning called See for Yourself. We're going to be in the book of Revelation. A lot of people have been preaching from Revelation this last year. A lot of trying to make sense of end times. I'm going to come at it from a little bit different angle. And here's what I want to talk to you guys about. See for yourself. I remember the very first time I saw this. This is a picture of one of my favorite places in the world. And it happens to be an hour and 10 minutes from here. That is Mount Shuckson. That little bitty building that you see is actually a really big lodge. That's the base lodge at Mount Baker. I remember the first time I visited here from Colorado, and I knew all about Mount Baker. I knew all about the Mount Baker road gap. I knew all about how much snow Mount Baker gets. And I had seen video parts and read articles and this and that. But I remember the very first time I came around the corner and I saw these chairlifts going straight up the side of this mountain. And it hit me in a new way. Now, if you are on Instagram and you're friends with anybody who's ever been here, there's a picture posted of this. And like any great thing that you go do, a picture never does it justice. I was thinking about a story I heard from Melinda, actually, and Ben from last year from a camping trip they did. And they got up at sunrise. They had their coffee to watch the sun come up over the mountains. And when the sun came up, she was explaining it beautifully to us. But you could tell that it was just lost in translation. As she was sitting there, she was taken to tears, she said, by the majesty of God and the power of God and the beauty of everything around her. But it's something that you just gotta see for yourself. So now when people come and visit us here, one of the things that we always do is I take them up there. They've heard about it. And you know what happens every single time? Every time. If the mountain's out that day, because it snows a lot up at Baker, and sometimes you can't see the mountain, but you tell people, it's kind of like faith. It's there, dude, I promise. You could see it if the clouds weren't here. Come back. Because Washington don't care where you're from. Sometimes Washington is just mean to you. Like it rains. You're like, no, it's sunny most of the time. But when the sun's out and I'm on a chairlift with someone and they look over and see it for themselves, there's always this moment of almost overwhelmed. Just like, wow, that's amazing. And I could post a picture of that all the time, but I hold myself back anymore because I'm like, nobody cares. Plus, the picture never, ever, ever does it justice. You could post 1,000 pictures, but there's something about sitting there and taking it all in. There's something about seeing something for yourself, experiencing it firsthand. I was in a prayer meeting this last week with a group of pastors, and we were praying, and this text that we're going to be in was opened up before us. And as we were praying through this text, I felt like I saw Jesus in a way that I was so taken back. All of us were. We were brought to tears in this room, and we were praying in power because of this picture of Jesus that we get to see. So if you have it in your Bible, would you open up to Revelation chapter 5? Before we read it, I want to ask you this question. What would it be like, or have you ever wondered what it would be like to see Jesus in his full majesty and glory? The Bible talks about that Jesus has this majesty and this glory. When we see Jesus in the New Testament, we see a friend of sinners, someone who was approachable, someone who was kind. But there are these pictures that were given that people try to tell us of what Jesus was like. They tried to paint a picture of Jesus with their words. Peter says this. He was one of the disciples. And Peter says, "We were not making up clever stories when we told you about the wonderful coming of our Lord Jesus. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. When he received honor and glory from God the Father," he's talking about when Jesus was transfigured before them on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was so like, this is crazy. This is awesome. We should never leave, is what he said. Should we stay here forever? Peter said. Paraphrase, but it's in there. Go look at it. "The voice from the majestic glory of God said to them, 'This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy.'" Peter still speaking, we ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, what he saw firsthand, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets," talking about the word of God. And then he says, "You must pay close attention to what they wrote. For their words, the Bible, the word of God, it's like a light, a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your heart." It's like poetic. It's beautiful. He's trying to paint a picture with words of something that he saw. John, who wrote the Gospel of John and who also wrote the book of Revelation, says this about what he saw in Jesus. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says this: "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but he chose specific things to write about in the book of John." Why? He was trying to paint a picture, and this is the picture he was trying to paint. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's why the Holy Spirit breathed into John, and the words that came out were painting a picture so that people would see this and go, he is God. He is who he says he is. And that by believing, they would have life in his name. My favorite person who wrote a word picture about it is Paul, the Apostle Paul. This is what he says. Who knows whether I was in my body or out of my body? He's like, I had an out-of-body experience or something, but I was in heaven. He had a vision that he was actually in heaven. And this is what he says about it. I was caught up to paradise, and I heard things so astounding that they can't be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. See, Peter tried to paint a picture. John tried. Paul's all, can't even do it. What I experienced firsthand was so heavy. It was so majestic. It was so big and beautiful, and I just can't even do it into words. But you look at his life, and his life painted a good picture of what the power of God looks like, what the grace of God looks like. This is something that these people saw firsthand. But is there any place in the Bible that tells us what Jesus looks like? Is there any place that would give us a good picture of who he is? If you're looking, if he had blue eyes and big curly hair, no, other than the fact that it tells us in Isaiah there was nothing special about his appearance. You didn't look at him and be like, man, he's a handsome one. It says that there was nothing really particularly special about him that you would think that he was attractive. But there's this one place that there's a picture of Jesus that is pretty profound, and it's in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation means to be revealed. This is when stuff is peeled away. This is what you get to see. So in Revelation chapter 5, let me pray. I want to read this to you. Lord, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for the word pictures that are painted in Scripture, that these men wrote about, that people saw and testified of. But we thank you for what we get to read this morning, that we get to see you in all of your glory. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take what we read and that it would pass in our ears, through our brain, down into our hearts, our very spirits, Lord. We would be transformed by your goodness. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw at the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw. John is writing something that he is seeing. It's not on the screen, but if you just look at it with your point to it with your finger or jot the note down. In chapter 4, in verse 1, it says this: after this I looked. This angel that was speaking to John was telling him some things that were going on the earth, that Jesus stood in the midst of the churches and this and that. And then he goes, but I need to show you something else. Verse 4, or chapter 4, after this I looked. Now all of a sudden, John is in heaven. He is seeing things that are going on in heaven, not on earth. All of chapter 4 focuses on a throne. Then I saw a throne. And then he says, then I saw this person sitting on the throne. And then he explains it in his best, English. He didn't write in English. He was writing in Greek. In the best human words possible, he was like, there was like a sea around him. It was like crystal and it was clear. It's not like there was an actual thing. He's just trying to put language around it. All of 4 is talking about this radical throne room experience. Then in chapter 5, and then it changes from the throne to a scroll, something written. It was written on the front and back. It was sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. Verse 4. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals." And between the throne and the 4 living creatures, and among, there's thrones, there's living creatures, no big deal. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding up a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made a kingdom, you have made them a kingdom and a priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. I love it. Worship in heaven, it's going to be turned up to like 11. It's always loud. There's nobody in the back going, "Oh my gosh, would you turn it down?" Everyone's like, "Yes, this is my jam." Where was I? "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Verse 13, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them." Will there be animals in heaven? "And then I heard every creature that is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, and in the sea, and all that is in them, saying," lambs, or the ox and lamb kept time. That's a Christmas pun. But here it says, they were all singing. Now, I can't imagine, like, were they singing with words? Or were they like, "Moo!" But like in harmony? I don't know. That's left to Revelation. It's left up to interpretation. Okay. This is what they were singing. "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." That was the song. And the 4 living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Dang. This is dope. This gets me excited. You know why? I don't actually have a message to teach you some information. I just want to stand with you and experience what John experienced. He actually was given an invitation to come, and this is what we're going to do this morning, this afternoon. Huh? We're going to take a peek. We're going to take a seat. We're going to take a breath. And then we're going to take a turn. We're going to take a peek of what was going on. Take a seat, take a breath, and take a turn. Let's take a peek from John's point of view as what was going on. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written on the front and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to look into it. John gets this peek into heaven. It's actually a royal courtroom setting. There's a king on a throne. There are representatives of the kingdom all the way around. There are people in authority in their rightful place. And then this scroll is brought in. It says that it has writing on the front and back. This signifies, and I'm not going to interpret everything for you. We're going to look at it at face value, okay? There's something that comes up that gets handed up that needs to be made sense of. The one on the throne is holding this thing. Is there anyone that can make sense of this? That is worthy to even look upon this? Sealed with seven seals. Seven in the Bible is the number of completion. This scroll is full. It is complete. There no more can be written on it. Nothing else needs to be written on it. This is the final word. The final authority. A complete account of everything that has ever taken place, including 2020. All we know is there are some people who are like, well, this is what the scroll is. This is what the scroll is. There's interpretations. But we know for a fact that it's something that needs to be opened and no one can do it. The situation calls for someone who is perfect and complete and holy to open this perfect and complete and holy document. And it's clear, no one. And that's, isn't that crazy? Nobody in heaven could do that? What about the angels? They're like mighty. It says you're mighty. This is probably Gabriel talking. Who is worthy to open it? Surely, if someone could open a document like that, it'd be someone who's always been in heaven, who's never sinned or done anything wrong. No, not worthy. Well, what about, I started thinking about, like, who's the holiest person I can think of? Abraham's up there. No, Abraham couldn't do it. Mother Teresa, she's around. It says all these people, all these people. Mother Teresa can do it. No, it wasn't even a question. Your grandma, if she's passed and was a believer, grandmas are holy. We know this. Grandma couldn't open it. Paul, nope. John, says he started crying. He knew he wasn't worthy. No one could open it. He takes a peek and he sees a desperate situation. Who can fix this? So what does he do? Sounds kind of like he takes a seat. Look at verse 4. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. He pulls up a chair. This is worth investigating. No one's worth to make sense of it all. No one is worthy to make sense of the good and the evil in this world. You know, we have a lot of questions. If God is so good, how come there's so much evil? How can this be? How can that be? It's like we try to make sense of it, but we just can't make sense of everything. And in this same courtroom scene, no one can do it. And John sees it and he feels it and he begins to weep. He's overwhelmed with, like, dude. And then an angel says to him, or one of the elders says to him, another human, there not because of his own deserving, but because of God's grace and love, says to him, hey, don't cry, man. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. So he can open the scroll and its seven seals. He said, don't cry. We're not without hope, as it seems. There is someone who can help. And I love this description we're about to get. because in steps in a lion. Oh, there's a lion. I immediately think of Aslan. Is he good? No, but is he safe? No, heck no. Andrew says, no, he's not safe. He's a lion, but he's good. In steps in a lion, the king of the jungle. Rawr. I am worthy. I can do this. It's as if, look at verse 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures, among the, these four living creatures are crazy looking, by the way. You can go back and read for yourself. As if this is their, what they were created to do, to be in this place. The four special creatures and the elders, which are people in a place of authority, subservient to the king on the throne. In between all of them, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. I thought we were about to get a lion. I thought a lion was supposed to roll up in here. And in walks in a lamb as though it had been slain. Listen to this description. With seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders bowed down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. And then I looked, and around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels. The actual numbers here that's given is like millions and millions. He's so many. He's like myriads and myriads and 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. He is like, they just kept coming and coming. And they were all saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and glory and honor and blessing. As if heaven itself paused for a moment and took a breath as to just what was going on. Jesus steps in, introduced as a lion, yet he enters the room as a lamb. Do you see where it says, I saw a lamb standing, comma, as though it had been slain? How would you know if something had been slain? Unless it was marred and scarred. But there is no sickness. There is no death. There is no more hurt. There is no more pain. All things will be made to be whole in heaven. Did you know that for eternity, Jesus will carry his scars that he bore for us on the cross? He will be they will be the only scars in heaven, visible forever. A lamb as though it had been slain. And then this poetry here with seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits. Seven is a number of complete. That's why it was given to John Elway. He's a quarterback. Seven, it means nothing needs to be added. Seven horns. What does that mean? Horns throughout Scripture are a symbol of power. Seven horns, all powerful. Having full power. Seven eyes. 7 means complete. Eyes in the Bible are synonymous with knowledge and wisdom. This is an all-knowing, all-knowledge, all-wisdom. 7 spirits, complete spiritual presence everywhere. And then stepped in the lion. He looked like a lamb that had been slain. He knew everything. He was everywhere, and he could do everything. The Bible has big words for these, but it says that he knows it all. He sees it all. He can do it all. Heaven takes a breath. They collectively breathe as millions of angels and John himself and the elders. They collectively breathe in God's grace that they now experience in a new way. There's a verse that's coming to me right now. It trips me out every time I read it. It's in Ephesians, I believe. And it says that God will show his immeasurable glory throughout eternity. I'm going to blow your mind. So as best you can, try to hold on. There is somehow we're never going to fully grasp God's love. This what is happening here, they sang a new song. They were already in heaven. And then something happens, and they breathe in this powerful experience of the presence of Jesus in their lives in a new way. Somehow God's grace is going to rock. You're never going to be like, oh yeah, it's good. Here we are, heaven. High five. Should we play some basketball or something? It's just there's something that's going to be the fullness when you are hit with the fullness of God's sovereignty and power and sacrificial love. There is something that is always, 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 forever going to blow our hair back and just be like, dude, dang. Each person that was there in this thing, they say, those scars, those are for me. Jesus didn't roll in with scars going, yeah, you did this, moron, but I love you. Here's the scars to prove it. They weren't scars to flaunt. They were, dare I say it, trophies of his love for those. And what was happening is people understood, those are for me. Those scars, those aren't meant to bring shame, but to bring glory. And people were, everybody was experiencing this. Makes me think of something I heard one time called spiritual breathing. First time I heard it, I was like, man, this dude's weird. And he explained it, and I was like, you know, this is actually beautiful. And he says, and I see it pictured here, spiritual breathing. It's breathing in God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's love, to take it in. And then you breathe out praise and confession. Did you see what naturally happened? They took in this moment and they were like, this is so big. And they naturally breathed out confession. You are God. You are worthy. And praise. It was in song form. It was joyous. It was from the depth of who they are. This is a response to Jesus. Man, I feel like a lot of us, we just need to take a breath. This isn't so much a text to teach, but it's something to participate in. It's like if there's something that just by seeing Jesus for who he really is, breathing in that truth and grace and love, if that in and of itself could help us change our outlook to things. So I invite you, close your eyes for a second. Put yourself in the middle of all that is going on here. And then you see the Lord come in. And I don't know what your week was like. I don't know what your last month was like. I don't know what you feel like your next month will be like. But I invite you to take a moment and to see Jesus for who he is and take a deep breath in. And as you do, I want you to just think and meditate on how much God loves you, the grace that he gives to you, the forgiveness that he extends to you, and breathe those things in. So take a deep breath and hold it just for a second. And when you exhale, I want you to just exhale all of the weight that you hold, all of the guilt that you want to hang on to. You breathe out confession and praise. My mom used to say, count to 10. That was always her thing when stuff was hard. She'd just be like, count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like that was going to make it better. But there is something about stopping, centering yourself, and just taking in a breath. Man, I've been doing this a lot. It goes something like this. God, you got me. You got the church. You have my kids. You know everything. I guess I don't need to know everything. I just need to know that you do. So, Lord, I give you today. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do the best I can. I pray that it brings you honor and glory, but thank you, Lord, for your love for me. And then I go. That's that perspective change we've been talking about. We take a breath. And this is, we'll end with this last one because this is so good. There's an opportunity here to take a turn. See, when people come up and visit the mountain, you get to the first part where you come around the corner and people see it. Then you pull into the parking lot or your favorite hike spot, and then you just take a seat and you just kind of take it all in for a minute. And as you take stuff in, you start to notice it a little bit more. And it's like you kind of have this moment. That's that take a breath. And you're just like, this is beautiful. Why can't we just live like this? We could like wake up. I could become like a hunter-gatherer. You know? I'd like eat rabbits and stuff. Build a fire every day. I don't have to listen to people. You just leave it there. I don't have to listen to people. This would be lovely. I mean, you kind of just take it in. And it begins to refresh. And what's the thing that happens naturally? Oh, I got to bring some people here. I need some people to experience this thing that I've experienced. And so we have a field trip. And we bring people. Oh, you're coming up. Nice. What are you doing this weekend? Hey, we're going up to this spot that we love. Do you want to come? Do you want to come up? And you get up there and you just know how, and so you're just so excited for to come around the corner when people can see it for themselves. And then you pull in and you just kind of like let it be and you let them take it in. And you just are like, shut up, JJ. Let them take it. Because you're like, isn't this great? And if you look right there, you can see this. And it's just like, let them take it in for themselves. And then you watch the stress go away. Take a turn. And then I heard every creature, starts out with the elders, these creatures, John was like, this was happening. And then it says, verse 13, and then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. It's like it started to make its way around the room, the gravity of the moment, the epicness of the situation. The cows started singing. The kids started singing. They all started singing. They all took a turn, as it were. And the song was so big and so loud and so awesome, The four living creatures, the angelic beings that were there, they weren't like, oh man, y'all are off key. Let me teach you how to worship. They've been doing it since the beginning, always perfectly. This says that they looked at it and they saw it and they were like, heck yeah! That's what amen means. It means let it be. That's what I'm talking about. And they stood back and they were like, amen. These people took a turn. It's as if heaven was saying, chanting, this is who we play for. Last week I said, who do you play for? The name on the front of the jersey versus the name on the back. And I will say, if you didn't listen to last week's message and you call the bridge your home, I would ask that you would go back and give it a listen. I believe it was from the Lord. I believe it was for our church. And it was an amazing thing, word of things to come. But it was saying, we need each other. And that we represent something bigger than ourselves. And it's like all of heaven in this moment was like, that's who I play for. The worthy one. And do you see how Peter was like, dude, we didn't make up these fables. We saw it for ourselves. John was like, I wrote this gospel. I picked out seven specific signs that Jesus did and seven specific statements when Jesus says, I am God. These are the ones that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart and I put them down because here's the deal. I want you to see for yourself who Jesus is. Paul was like, look, I'm good with words and all, but I can't even put it into words. So Paul, the wordsmith, he decided and said he couldn't say a few things. He said, I'll say a lot. I'll write a third of the New Testament or two-thirds of the New Testament trying to explain what I experienced. The greatness of God. The grace of God. Why do you think Paul fought tooth and nail not to bring religion on people, but for people to see Jesus for who he is, full of grace, a lion and a lamb. It was like heaven just erupted in cheer and in song saying, that's who we belong to. That's who we play for. That's who we represent. The lion who chose to become the lamb. The only one in heaven, on earth, under the earth, in all of the universe worthy to make sense of all the ongoings of the world. The scroll, who can make sense of it? The perfect judgment, some say this is the title deed to earth. Who is worthy to rule, to open this? Just Jesus. The worthy one. Let me take this truth in. The only one worthy to make a judgment call for every corner of the world, every people group in the world, every nation in the world, every cultural background in the world, every tribe, every unreached people group, every city, every town, every family, every hurt background, history, your story, all your mistakes, he makes worthy, perfect, loving judgments for everyone. Someone told me this week they didn't agree with a decision that a business made here in town. You know, I just don't agree with that. And I was just like, well, good thing for you and me. Wasn't in our control to, you know, wasn't our job to make that decision. So you holding on to it is doing no good. Jesus makes worthy, perfect decisions. Do you play for him? Is his name on the front of your jersey? He's on the front of mine. This church will operate from this day forward, representing Jesus himself. You know, not everyone's going to agree with how we do it. that's okay. We're going to do the best we can with what's in front of us because this is what we want people to see. I want people to be like, he's like a lion. He's so powerful. He knows everything. Yeah, he is. But he's like a lamb. He's so gentle in my life. He doesn't bring guilt and shame, and he just loves me. Yeah, he is. He forgives me. Yeah, I know. It's hard to explain. But when you see it for yourself, you don't have to explain it perfectly because people take it in. And then they'll say, that's the name on the front of my jersey. And we say, yeah, did you know in the Bible it says he's the name above every other name? He's the one who was and is and somehow is still to come. He's outside of time. He alone takes away the sins of the world. Who do you play for? The one who alone calls you by name. I call him this. He's the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace, the one who was dead and now is alive forevermore. He stands at the throne, and yet somehow he stands in our midst at the same time. He holds everything together, and can I remind you that he holds you together as well. His name is Jesus, and he is worthy. In closing, we're going to sing a song. Song that somebody wrote thinking about these verses. And I want to invite us, as we've taken a peek, maybe sat down, listen, to take a turn and take our part in responding to Jesus, who he is. In a closing thought, I want to read you a text. It says this: we don't yet see things clearly. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. What's next year going to be like? Gosh, I don't know. There's a lot of things that are still in the air. If you're a parent, you know how unclear stuff is. What's your child's future going to be like? I don't know. Lord, help us. Be with our kids. Protect our kids. There's things that we don't see. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears up and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that place. To steadily trust in God. Somebody say, steady now. To hope unswervingly and to love extravagantly. And the best of these is love. So, Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this picture. Thank you for encouraging me with that this week. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Thank you for having this written down. You desired not just John to participate, not just the angelic beings to participate, not just all of those that have gone before us that are in heaven to participate, but you wanted to invite us to participate as well. May this truth encourage our hearts, give us strength to carry on in the days ahead of us. Lord, we respond with song because there's something about singing that kind of takes more of your, it takes a little more work, takes a little more effort, and it comes from a deeper place. So Lord, we respond to your grace, to your goodness, to your royalty, to your love with these songs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So I'll stand.